annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Yes, indeed it is. Episode 27 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards. And next to me, Stevie P. How are you, mate?
G'day, Benny. G'day, Scotty.
We're in the 27 Club, man.
Yeah, the 27
We've joined Jimi Hendrix.
Right. Janis Joplin.
The chick that choked on a sandwich.
Mama Cass, which she didn't technically choke on a sanger.
It's real to me.
That's an urban myth.
Don't ruin my story.
She ate one about half an hour before.
I saw it on the internet. Right. It must be true.
Yeah.
And who was the new one? Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse was as part of the 27 Club. Jim Morrison, all of them. Yeah.
We made it this week.
28 next week. We will finish the year on episode 29 on December 8th. So this is the third
number.
Yes.
Beautiful, boys.
Nice work.
Nice way to end it.
Bloody hell.
Now, Stevie, you've been overseas again, my friend. You just got back into the country 2 days ago. How was your latest trip?
Excellent. Thank you, Scotty. Yeah, really good. Went away to Thailand this time for 8 days and had a really good time. So went to the Socceroos last week on Tuesday. That was a fantastic experience. I'll talk a bit about that later on. But unbelievable scenes there. They had just finished the mourning period for the king, their much beloved king over there. So that you could tell that the players.
How long was that for? Like 6 weeks? Or
30
something?
Days. Yeah. I think it was it was an immediate mourning period, Benny, and then now there's a year where I think things toned down.
He was one of the longest guys to sit on the throne. It was like 40 years or something.
Yeah. 71 years he sat on the throne. Or something
on the throne
like
for 70
years. Yeah.
They reckon his son is like the Taiwanese version of Kim Jong-un.
Have you seen it?
I reckon he's a nut.
Dad was like pretty well respected, especially by the people. Do you reckon that was just out of fear?
His father was a very good man from everything that I can tell.
And he raised an antichrist.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I don't know the full story about it. But I've seen a few news.com articles, which I'm loath to believe too much.
Yeah. News.com. It's like it's run by teenagers.
It's crap. I've had a few things sent to me and they've showed pictures of him in like really short singlets up to his waist and leather pants and you know this guy his son.
I do what I want.
Yeah. Get this, he actually appointed his pet dog as an Air Chief Marshal in the Thai Air Force.
Holy shit,
so his dog's name's Fufu and he's actually
Colonel Fufu.
Roman guy? Callisto?
Caligula.
Can he marry his horse? Didn't he marry his horse or some shit?
Oh, I think he screwed him in the palace, but there was a lot of weird stuff going on when Caligula was around.
Yeah,
syphilis will trust your decision making.
Trust me to say Calippo. Hashtag fat guy life.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Oh, it was good, mate. Yeah, so look, it was a good experience to see the Socceroos, but going back to the king, he's that king though, if you look into the story behind King Bhumi Bol, I think his name is. He was only appointed king because he was away on a holiday 70-odd years ago and something strange happened to his brother who was the actual heir to the throne. He got killed
on
a trip or something like that. He got shot or something strange happened.
That's a good alibi when you're on a trip yourself, isn't it?
If you look into the story behind it, it's quite bizarre. And I don't know the full story behind that either, but basically he then became king unwittingly and now he just passed away recently.
So his brother was older.
Firstborn, surely.
Speaking of bizarre and Indonesia and Bali, the last 24 hours in Bali. See how it's all turned around?
Paracetamol.
No, they reckon it wasn't, but...
I saw it on news.com, man.
What happened, right? So this kid got busted with powder, right?
Yeah.
But his friends were filming it and it came out today. You can see the security guard that busted this kid had the bag of powder in his hand before he even touched the kid's bum bag. Wow. They planted it on him. When this video became huge today on social media, the Balinese government's come out and going, "Oh, it was just paracetamol, so he's free to go." You pricks got caught red-handed and you've backed down.
Why would they try and do that?
Why would you go on holidays there?
So is it
seriously?
Is it true that I'm going there for New Year's?
You go there all the time.
Yeah, I know, and I'm going there again.
You love it.
Don't wear a bum bag and don't let anyone touch
zip,
you.
Steve, zip pockets and thongs. Yeah. Please,
you've got money, mate. Go to a first world country.
go to Fiji.
Yeah, go to the PNG. Yeah, that'd be good.
But seriously, so
there's a setup, Scotty. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I mean,
why would they do that? Send a message.
Well, because they're rife with corruption over there. So a lot of them will see
making money.
We'll see. You know, foreigners come in and go, let's plant drugs on this one. The family will pay us thousands to let them out.
Yeah.
We all get some kickbacks and off they go.
Yeah.
And that apparently that's rife.
Yeah.
You couldn't pay me enough money to
go to Russia,
Bali.
Thailand, at Bali, it's all the same, man. It's all corruption. It runs deep.
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable story, though. Like, from what it was yesterday, I think it was, 36 hours ago, to this thing's been done, and then the front page of the telly today.
And did you see him roughing him up, like grabbing his face?
Yeah, grabbing his face. Yeah.
He was getting the old massage, wasn't he?
Getting the old MMA fighting.
I don't even do that, kicking out 18-year-olds.
Listen, a big episode coming up. Larry's not very happy, our traffic reporter.
He's never happy.
No, he's not. He's an angry man.
He's cold this time, so...
There's a feminazi that's come out who claims Santa should be a woman.
That's so one I'm of taking, my favourite words.
I'm taking a close look. Santa, mine too.
Feminazi.
Having a close look at that. Benny, Biffaramas, you emailed me on Monday. You normally email me going, Scotty, can we have this audio? Can we have this audio? And you basically went, no audio this week. I'll just bounce off you and Payos. So you're coasting to the end of the podcast year. You're being slack.
I'm pretty much already on holidays. I'm just showing up. Now that Stevie's here to take the slack. I just going to say something. And nice. Steve will have an opinion whether he knows what I'm talking about or not.
Absolutely.
So. And usually he does anyway. Yeah, so it's all good.
Nice.
And
feed me, I'll give it.
For the next three episodes, we're going to play some Christmas classics instead of some local music. But Christmas classics you may not have heard that are actually really cool.
I think I might have heard one of them.
I reckon you may have too.
So, rhymes with smarty pants.
That's coming. No, it doesn't. It rhymes with smarty hells. That's coming up in the final podcast for the year, that one. Today's is a duet between Jack Black and a punk band, and it's just absolutely legendary. So
the guy that's going to play you in your biopic.
Yeah, Jack Black. Yeah, there you go. Now, mate, you've decided to pick song one this week. I was leaning down the same angle given Metallica's new album has come out, and it's pretty bloody good.
And I think it must be a new thing with the way, social media and all the internet's changed how records are sold and that. Yeah. But they've got like a video clip for every single song on the album.
Yeah, they've gone crazy.
Is that just because of the way
a lot of bands,
people are going to be watching the songs and hearing the songs on YouTube anyway, so they may as well look at the official one? Or
yeah, some bands have decided to do that in the past. Like U2 did it a couple of years ago, had like a short clip made, and other bands have used fans to come up with clip ideas.
And they're good. They're awesome clips too. One of the songs, I can't remember what it is, but it's a tribute to Lemmy from
Motorhead. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it's bloody awesome.
Well, they were quite good friends with Lemmy. So.
Yeah, it's bloody awesome. I saw actually Triple H did a speech at his funeral.
Yeah,
and it was really, really well done. Yeah, it was really cool.
Lemmy was a god amongst men.
He's up there hanging out with them right now.
This is one of my favourite songs off the album. And Benny, this is the one you wanted to play. So Dream No More. This is the song on the album, I think, that's just got everything right. It's got a bit of old school. It's got a bit of new school. You can hear the bass guitar.
And it is a real combination of all their albums put together, I reckon.
Yeah,
Even the and this is not an oxymoron, the best parts of like Load and Reload.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is about 1% of the album. There's some like bluesy stuff with like the flange guitar and the wah-wah pedal's going to work out. It's pretty cool stuff.
Kirk can't play guitar without the wah-wah.
Nah, he hasn't. True. He hasn't.
So anyway, let's get stuck into it. Thanks to our wonderful sponsors, Lang's Auto and, of course, The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. It's Metallica, Dream No More on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Metallica with Dream No More. This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Ben and Stevie P. And now we're going to our eye in the sky, Larry, who's completely over summer and he's gone somewhere cold, Scotty.
Yeah, well, we haven't even had summer yet, but we did have a couple of warm days last week. Stevie, you were in Malaysia, so you had plenty of warm days.
Steve's black.
He's looking pretty brown, isn't he?
His dong's grown an inch, for sure. For sure. And it wasn't bad before.
Vitamin D. Oh, the amount of oversharing on episode 27.
To respond to that.
Steve's like, oh, please stop.
Thank you, Benjamin.
All right, let's cross to Larry and see what's going down.
Lather here with another official traffic report for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Like most of you, I've been saying, when's summer going to get here? Well, it's here. We've had 230-degree days and I'm fucking over it. So I'm headed to Hobart. Unlike some of you lucky bastards that tan in the sun, Scotty, I'm looking at you, who in your family fucked a Greek sailor? I'm one of the lucky ones that gets sunburned at night watching fireworks. Seriously though, after 30 minutes in the sun, I look like Julia Gillard's ring hole. So I'm off to the land of two heads, where it's constantly 11 degrees year round. There's only two episodes left of the podcast this year for 2016. So after that, I'm headed off to Antarctica. Fuck you, summer. This is Larry for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Talk to you next week.
One of them put Hopper to sleep within one round. The other had his career put to sleep as part of a business restructure.
Consider it severance pay. Take the train.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Time to thank one of our wonderful sponsors on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, and that's Johnny and the team at Lang's Auto Yass Road in Queanbeyan, Benny.
They finished my car a couple of weeks ago. I was running like a dream, but the boffins there, the very smart boffins at Mechanic One HQ, said, mate, yeah, the mechanics, they're on the way
the
out.
The mechanics, the electrics.
The electrics. The electrics. Much like my my brain. It could go tomorrow, it could go 5 years. The time has come, so I'm gonna put it back in and get the electrics fully schmicked up.
Oh, so the guys went, listen, your electrics are about to go.
Yeah, they said it could be tomorrow, it could be in 5 years. We don't want to spend your money unnecessarily, so when they go, bring it back in and we give it a... So the time has come. It's gone back in.
Nice.
So basically this time next week, I'm going to have a brand new car with electric windows that go up and down quite quickly.
Fantastic.
And I can't wait.
Well, that's what it's all about this time of year.
You'll need them with summer coming, mate.
Oh, yeah, indeed. This time of year, everyone goes, oh, we're going away for a big drive over Christmas. If I can get my car fixed.
Oh, I'm loving that bloody punter again.
That's that punter voice again. But yeah, get your car booked in now because the spots are starting to fill up very, very quick.
Always busy. Auto.
And that shows you what a good mechanic they are. They are never quiet down at Lang's Auto on Yass Road. So whatever you need done to your car, whether you're going away for Christmas or whether you just bought a really shit soccer mum van with bad electrics and
I didn't buy it, I got given it.
That's still the same thing. Just take the Lang's and they will sort it out for you.
They're at 44 Yass Road, Queanbeyan.
Thanks very much, random punter.
One of these guys won the Australian heavyweight boxing title. The other was told to f*** off by Angelina Jolie. Squad goals. Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Here we are back on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Scotty Masters, Benny Edwards and me, Stevie P. And now we're up to a segment which is the top five signs that Santa is a woman.
It's fan favourite. Yeah, it's a fan favourite segment.
Well, everyone loves the top five. Everyone gets confused by the guide to fighting. I'll retool that over the holiday break.
I don't bloody like it. Sorry about it.
Everyone's giving me grief about
just piss it off.
My random punter voice. But I found this story online during the week. A woman who was rejected by an Aussie Santa Claus school because she's female says she thinks Australians want a Mrs. Claus. Of course she's going to say that.
Isn't there always been a Mrs. Claus?
Well, there's a Mrs. Claus, but I think she wants a female Santa. Right. That's her problem.
So there'll be a Mr. Claus then? Because wasn't Mrs. Claus always Santa's what?
Yeah, she looked after the elves when Santa went off delivering.
I'm offended by this.
Oh, everyone's offended. Just jump on board the outrage train.
What is Santa's pronoun? Mister? Or am I not allowed to designate
just
one?
Santa.
Oh, it's Santa.
But is he male or female?
He's always been a guy. I mean,
what if I want to be a really formal in a dress? I don't want to offend him.
Saint Nicholas.
Dear Saint Nicholas.
Yeah.
Mr. Saint?
I don't know.
I'm confused.
Yeah, anyway.
Dear Mr. Kringle.
Chris Kringle. Chris is a girl's name too. Who knows? Anyway, she's fighting for...
You go all day with this, couldn't
you? Did you say Pringles? Sorry.
She's fighting for equal Santa Claus rights for women in Australia now. She says there are many women Santas in other countries. Mrs. Claus is a popular attraction. Yeah, Mrs. Claus is a popular attraction, but she's not the one that delivers the presents and goes down the chimney. So she's gone right off. And as part of the Santa Clausology degree that she was doing, that's the name of it. Seriously,
get
there is
out
a thing.
Here.
Yeah, she
there's
said,
a university that offers that.
About, well, and I don't know if it's a university. I think it's a school as such.
And there's dickheads that pay money to do it. Oh, and there's some guy who's smarter than us sitting at home making a living.
Here's what she learned how to do. She said, I learned different ways to ho-ho-ho. Work with children and how to use...
That could be misinterpreted. Yeah,
and that's why Santa's a dude.
That's why they get divorced.
She said, I also learned how to use a magic key to get into a house if there's no chimney. I don't know if this is a Santa school or a burglary bloody school.
Bloody hell.
Anyway, it did get me thinking, so it's time for this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut Top 5.
Yes, it's the top 5 signs Santa Claus is actually a woman. All right?
Ho, ho, ho.
If any of these, maybe she's got something. Coming in at number 5, reads children's letters in the office instead of on the crapper. That's a sign.
I think women read on the crapper as much as us, man.
Oh, I know my missus doesn't, but I did know a girl once that had a magazine rack in a toilet.
Really?
That's not a euphemism for anything. It was a magazine rack. That's getting old school, man.
Yeah,
I was very old, like Ben. Number 4, constantly whining about equality until it's time to clean out the reindeer stalls. Tell me, it's a lot of shit, man. Yes, indeed, there is. Number 3 on the top 5 side, and Santa Claus is actually a woman. No guy would ever name his animals Dancer and Prancer.
Well, no straight guy.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Number 2, Santa has never, ever been observed peeing off rooftops. So that could be.
And I look. I'm looking. I'm going to catch him one day.
All right, and number 1, there's the drum roll. In the top 5 signs, Santa Claus is actually a woman. Never explains what exactly you did to deserve coal in your stocking. If you have to ask, maybe that's your problem.
You're a naughty boy.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, and Lang's Auto Centre, Queanbeyan. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Well, I'm not going to lie to your podcast listeners. Benny Edwards has phoned this one in and we haven't even started. He's, oh, I've got no audio this week for you boys. I'm just going to do a segment. Benny, take it away.
I'm doing a segment. What word did I just say?
Sandman.
I'm doing the Sandman. I'm already on holiday mode, man. My brain's sitting back at home watching TV, man.
I think you've had a stroke today.
No, I haven't.
No?
All right. I'm covering the Unified Light Heavyweight Championship boxing fight that happened on the weekend. Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev. 81 kilos max, 178 pounds. And despite the controversy, it was a bloody awesome fight. You'll find out about the controversy in a bit.
Okay,
1 minute.
Because I didn't watch this on the weekend, mate, and I haven't seen any news about
it. I'll talk you through it. So basically, early on, Kovalev was just dominating, dropping the 12-year undefeated Ward in the second round. Mm. You could see Andre was hurt. His eyes were all clouded up, handled it like a pro, took a round or two off, and then recovered to come back and make it quite an entertaining fight.
Yeah, right.
The fight went the distance, with Ward surprisingly getting the decision, and there's video footage of the announcement, the decision being announced, and no one looked more surprised than Andre Ward.
Yeah, right.
So, mate, he was like walking around like, oh, here's my first loss in 12. Ooh, I won!
Right.
It was like sheer shock, and he's a pretty stoic guy,
what
too.
Do they always say? Don't leave it in the hands of the judges.
Yeah,
well,
that's exactly right. So most of press row and other ringside observers had Kovalev winning by anywhere from 1 to 6 points ahead, including respected boxing minds Harold Letterman, Bernardo Osuna, Al Bernstein, Dan Raphael, the Bad Left Hook website, and Roy Jones Jr., among others. But Roy Jones Jr. opinion might be a little bit biased considering that he is now a full-blown Russian citizen and probably doesn't want to get murked by Putin. Full-blown, yeah. Got
really?
A passport and everything, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And so does former UFC fighter Jeff Munson.
Jeez.
Yeah.
They've made the switch. Donald's making America great. They're going to make the Kremlin great.
And Roy Jones has been Russian for like 2 years now. Officially Russian. And it wasn't the best decision, but it wasn't a robbery either. Like, there's been a lot of memes on Facebook and all that. But every time you go to a decision, especially fighting the hometown boy, that's the risk you're going to take. So Kovalev did have a rematch caused in the fight. So a rematch is expected to take place sometime next year. Now, I reckon the next fight's going to be even better because Ward, due to contractual obligations, he actually hadn't fought for such a nearly 2 years or something.
Oh, wow, that's
this
a
fight.
Long time out.
So obviously he's got the rust out now, and Kovalev's going to be looking for a bit of revenge.
Yeah.
And keeping in mind Kovalev when he switches on, he's killed two blokes in the ring.
Yeah.
And the very next fight, he was still trying to kill the next guy. So
you
he is a cold-hearted son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So
where do you reckon they will be, Benny? Do you reckon they would have that? Maybe not necessarily in Russia, but what about in Germany or something like that? Do you reckon they get it over the Atlantic or?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe somewhere like that. But
what about Russia's veranda, the Ukraine?
I just don't know if Russia's in an economic state to really make a lot of money from the gate at the moment.
Yeah,
I could be wrong, but the gate is a huge part of how the promoters make money. I just don't know if they could really do it for the technically pound-for-pound number one boxing fight in the world at the moment.
Yep.
It'd be very hard to say, oh, let's do this in Russia when we could do it in Vegas and make three times as much money.
As much money,
easily, with less headaches. Did
he unify the light heavy titles, is that right? That's what Ward just unified by winning that.
So he's got all of them.
Yeah.
All of them now. He's the best 81-kilo guy on planet Earth. And moving on to the UFC, the 100th Ultimate Fight Night was Ryan Bader versus Antonio Rogério Nogueira, affectionately known as Little Nog, with his big brother being Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, the legendary Nogueira brothers from Brazil. They're only about 2 or 3 years older than me, 35 or something. They look 100, but they're so well respected in the community. Just true martial artists, never talk shit, always come to fight, being knocked out, come back, just. Absolutely awesome guys. Now, Bader, the heavy-handed wrestler, completely dominated the fight and got the third round TKO against the notoriously durable Little Nog. Now, there's some very interesting things that come from this fight. Bader is now off contract and a free agent. Now, the UFC tries to get fighters that are coming off contract to re-sign with one fight left, but sometimes fighters like to bet on themselves to win and to negotiate after their final fight to potentially have more leverage to be in a bigger, better negotiating position coming off a win.
Yep.
Now, this is Bader's 15th UFC win at light heavyweight. That is second only to John Jones. He's won 9 out of his last 12 and 7 out of his last 8, and he's the number 4 light heavyweight in the world. Now, Bellator, the second biggest company, is funded by the Viacom empire, as we've spoken about before.
Viacom.
They have acquired some top UFC names in the last few years, including Tito Ortiz, Charles Sonnen, Phil Davis, and Rory McDonald. But the interesting part and the difference with Bader is all those guys I just mentioned were coming off losses, whereas Bader's actually coming off a win. So he has stated that he wants to stay in the UFC, but he might change his mind if he's presented with some sweet, sweet Viacom money. So definitely be keeping an eye on there. And it'd be a big blow to the UFC to lose their number 4 guy.
Yep.
So, and I actually met Bader the day after he fought in Sydney. I ran into him randomly outside my hotel because I had a fight the night before. I had a fight, had about 30 minutes sleep, drove to Sydney. It was UFC 110, Velasquez and Big Nog, Nogueira. And yeah, Bader fought on the same show. Then I was ran into him walking around the city the next day. Cool dude. And as tall as me, and he fights at 92 kilos.
Yeah, wow.
So, and quickly onto some kickboxing news. The team I shared the change room with 2.5 short years ago on my first Denver show was these Belgian guys that live in the Netherlands. And the fighter that were there was this really nice guy called Marc de Bont. He's officially been missing since the 4th of November, which is pretty much 3 weeks Australia time. Now, the 25-year-old's car was discovered by a canal, and apparently he was en route to visit his girlfriend. The canal has been searched, didn't find anything, and there has been no ransom request or anything. The family's even enlisted the services of a psychic.
They're getting
that desperate. There's just absolutely no rhyme or reason for this. And there's a 5,500 euro, which is about $8,000 Aussie, for information leading to De Bont's whereabout. Now, in Australia, there's a lot of plastic gangsters, wannabes, and a few legit tough nuts. In the Netherlands, it's the opposite. People disappear there all the time. When I was training there, in Holland, one of my trainers would pick me up with his family, his wife and his son, to take me to and from training. He actually got machine gunned in a car outside of his gym. There's photos on the internet. Like full blown, like Uzis just tore him apart sitting in his little VW Golf out the front of his gym that I was training at there with him.
Yep.
And his name was Hans Niejem, and he famously fought in the legendary Pride Openweight Grand Prix in the year 2000 that UFC Hall of Famer Mark Coleman won. And Hans was actually 41 years old when that happened. So they do not fuck around in the Netherlands.
Yeah, right.
There is machine guns galore over there. So things aren't looking good for De Bruyne, so I would definitely be keeping an eye on that story. But there hasn't been any revelations since he disappeared. Not one clue, nothing.
Is he got gambling debts or anything? Mate, it sounds
it's a bizarre story. In reading all of
the face of the earth. And he texted his girlfriend, "I'm on my way, I'll see you soon."
I was just going to say that. There was a Facebook post as well that he put up only a couple of hours before that. He texted his missus on the way. And if you read all the Dutch, the Dutch reports that have been put through Reuters and stuff like that and translated back to English, it is even more bizarre because there's just no evidence or no sign that anything's happened. So if he has been taken, for argument's sake, there's been no ransom, no nothing. I mean, this guy's a former glory middleweight champ, I think he's been. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So this guy can fight.
Yeah.
And he's a nice guy from all accounts.
He's either been
nabbed by, the Dutch mob, or he wanted to disappear and make it look like an accident.
Maybe, Scotty.
Loving family. He's only 25 years old.
Yeah.
Didn't have any, not that I know, not that I could find research in the guy, but no dodgy tyres with anyone. Like my mate Hans that got murdered, he had some he knew some pretty interesting people. So that wasn't really a big surprise when that happened to him. But for a 25-year-old kid like De Bruyne, he was just a sweetheart of a guy. But even with his fighting pedigree, he wasn't a real like a kill or be killed street fighter kind of guy. He was a real kickboxing technician.
Yep.
I don't know how well he would have gone in a physical confrontation on the street
kind of thing,
which goes for a lot of boxers as well. Just because you can fight in the ring doesn't.
Street fighting and ring fighting is very different, especially in
Holland. Yeah,
and in Holland they do not fuck around, mate. Mm. In Australia, people talk shit. I'll kill you this and that.
Yeah.
Nothing ever happens, mate. Yeah. You're not going to do shit. Yeah. I get death threats every weekend on the door.
That's because you're a bouncer, Benny. That's what happens to you when you're a bouncer. Same happened to me.
Yeah, and I'm like, nothing's ever happened, mate. You know, but in Holland, man, they'll get you back.
They don't even
threaten
you or something.
There's so many guys, and that's why kickboxing was actually banned in Holland until recently, because of all the dodgy kickboxing ties with organized crime. And it was sort of like the Yakuza in Japan. There's just a big money making organization.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
So who knows what's going to happen there? So,
mate, before we finish, because I know that's it for Bifarama this week. You've put up a few posts in the last couple of weeks. You've been training with Duke. You stuck up that fight against the big Moroccan dude.
Mojo's back, man.
You're back into it, mate. So the grappling's coming along well.
Yeah, mate. My instincts are awesome. My execution is terrible.
Okay.
I can grab your neck and I can crush it, but I can't quite put you to sleep. Yeah. I can grab an arm and I can play with it, but I can't quite rip it off yet. But I'm getting there, man. Yeah. It's been awesome, man. I'm training with Duke straight after this. We're doing a session in the gym with King Costa. Is going to be there.
I've seen
observing.
Duke fight in the cage too, and if it wasn't for his grappling, he probably wouldn't have won that fight because Duke can't throw him the way you can. So the two of you working together makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Well, that's what I said, man. If we can give each other half of our skills, we're going to f***ing kill people.
Yeah, nice.
Together, that's a good point. Yeah. If you can swap each of what you've got, the striking power to his,
to have two
MMA ability.
Absolutely. To have two guys pretty somewhat similar in size in a little old town like Canberra, it's pretty bloody rare. In kickboxing, like three sparring partners in Australia. So it's just awesome.
The only problem with that is that you have to put up with Duke while you're trying to learn off him.
Yeah. Well, usually I'm so bloody gassed. I'm just thinking about how tired I am, so it's not too bad. But I've been, and the jiu-jitsu community in Canberra, it's awesome, man. There's no politics. Everyone trains with everyone.
Yeah.
So I was training the other day with our avid listener Simon Foscarini, the forklift, the strongman / grappler extraordinaire. He's a legend. He's a forklift, mate.
Brilliant.
He's a forklift, and they yelled Steve Rudick, everyone just. Just sharing knowledge, mate. It's a bloody beautiful thing.
Nice.
And I'm
nice.
Loving it, mate.
Big sweaty men grabbing each other.
Hairy. Yeah. Awesome. Hairy.
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 Wet.
I told this girl that I'm trying to court that she said.
Listen to
it's saying that she went down the coast for 3 weeks after our first date, but I'm still hopeful. she said, "Oh, what are you doing today? Like a few weeks ago?" And I'm just going to be sweating around with hairy men. And she's like, "Oh, can I come? Maybe."
What's the name of that sauna?
And Steve-O, you look like you got something to ask me, man.
Yeah, Benny, I wanted to ask you a quick one about Bellator and how you were talking about guys from UFC making the move at the end of their contracts. One thing I thought was very interesting was how you mentioned guys are getting to their last fight and that's when the UFC are looking to sign them.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot in football, especially European football. They always try and re-sign guys with 2 years to go because it increases their value once they've signed on.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about Fedor now that he's gone over to Bellator now. That's a big signing for those guys. It looks like he's going to be fighting Matt Mitrione at Bellator 172 coming up in San Diego in February.
San Jose.
Oh, is it San Jose? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That's coming up soon in February next year. How do you think he's going to go in that? You reckon he's still a force?
You never know, mate, because there's so many variables, man. There's the old saying, and all these old boxing sayings are true, that you get old in one fight.
Yes.
You can go from the best guy in the world to an old man in one fight.
Sorry,
guys. I was just going to say, Fedor, for those that have just tuned into the podcast for the first time, is an ugly man, Ben, who you would fuck, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. he's the guy you'd turn for if you had to.
I'd f*** him too, Scotty. Yeah. I'm not alone, man.
Yeah, nice. Just because you did my random punter voice.
Yeah, I'm stolen.
Anyone's backing it
That's
up.
My only go-to voice, yeah, nice, man. Nice. But yeah, on the fight, there's so many variables. And Mitrione, he's already had one fight with Bellator and he nearly got knocked out straight away.
Yeah.
And he actually recovered and came back to win. And Mitrione is a former, I'm not sure how far he got in the NFL, but the guy's a super athlete.
Yeah.
And he's a much bigger man than Fedor. And there's just so many variables, man. I wouldn't put money on. I don't know. Who knows? Especially at heavyweight. One mistake and it's over anyway. Big guys, little gloves. Who knows, mate? But like I'll be bloody watching.
Yeah.
You guarantee a very high percentage to go to a finish.
Yeah, and like you said a moment ago, you can go from that great fighter to being, you know, one fight. Now, back in 2010, was that fight for him when he got submitted by Verdum for you, Ben?
No, that was a technical mistake. That was a technical mistake. He dropped Verdum, and Vader's a very aggressive guy, and he should have jumped on. You drop someone, you jump on them and hurt them.
Yep.
But Verdum is a legit jiu-jitsu world class.
Yeah.
He was the best guy in the world at one time.
Yep.
And he just recovered quickly from the shot. He got dropped. His stand-up wasn't very good. It's improved a lot, but he got dropped fair and square. And Fedor didn't even do anything wrong. He just got caught by an awesome
guy.
He's
a good fighter.
If Verdum was slightly more hurt than what he was, Fedor probably would have got away with it.
Yeah.
Like he did for the 20 previous fights. Like when he fought Nogueira.
Yeah.
He was in Nogueira's guard the whole time, just throwing bombs for the whole 15-minute pride fight.
Yeah.
So Fedor, I don't think that was a sign that, he may not have it anymore.
It was just that huge upset. Yep.
He just came up against a top-notch guy, took a chance when he should have taken a chance, and it didn't pay off. That's fighting.
And he gets a massive spray, though, Verdum. I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's just those boring, inverted commas type of fighters that get that. You look at in UFC, Cormier gets that all the time as well.
Oh, big
it's
time.
Like
yeah.
Just not respecting him for being the quality of fighter that he is in terms of mixed martial arts is a multiple lot of disciplines that you need to be good at all of them. And he is good at that side of the game.
I think Verdum is a lot more marketable than people grew. First of all, he's a nice guy. He's funny. He's got a sense of humor. He finishes fights and he's fluent in three languages, man. The guy lived in Spain, spoke better Spanish than Cain Velasquez in Mexico,
which was
part of the reason Cain Velasquez was so upset going into the fight. Obviously, from Brazil, speaks fluent Portuguese and English.
Mm.
He's a very, very smart man. Mm.
Yeah.
And you watch him fight back in Pride, he couldn't bust a grape with his punches,
but
he could tear up anything off he wanted with his submissions.
That's right.
Now his Muay Thai is actually caught up. His Muay Thai is quite good. And when you're as confident in your ground game as Verdum is, you can open up. You can try all these crazy kick techniques that he has done, especially in his last fight when he opened up the fight with a jumping sidekick against 6'8" Travis Brown. Because if he ends up on his back, who gives a shit? That's where he wants to be.
That's it.
Jump on me.
I can understand it with DC. DC's lovely guy, but very safety first.
Yeah.
Mate, and he's an awesome wrestler. Like, if you're really good at something, why would you take a chance?
Well, that's the thing.
I get it. Totally. I'm just lucky that my style is, entertaining, but... It's like when
rugby league teams or football teams get sprayed because it's such a tight defensive unit. They only can see 10 points in a game.
Melbourne Storm.
They're doing it so well, people don't like them.
And everyone hates you for it so bad.
Like the Klitschko's.
That's it, the Klitschko's.
So good at it,
a defensive boxer, always has been. But that's why he's world champion for 10 years. And you got to respect that more than anything in these sports. You may not like it and it may not be, according to popular demand, the way you should be involved in your sport. But that's the issue.
As Dana says, GSP is the exception. He was one of the most boring fighters ever, but he was respectful, English, handsome,
and
just a god in Canada.
Well, that's
But as an actual fighter, he was the only people he was putting to sleep was the bloody crowd.
Yeah.
But he was he's one of these top five most popular guys ever.
Yeah.
So he is the exception. But there's guys like John Fitch and all these other laying prey wrestlers. They'll lay on you, get in a good position, and then just laying on you for the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, but Dana's like, mate, this is actually entertainment.
Yeah.
It's obviously it's fighting, you got to win. But if you put on that's where the K1 was the best.
Business, yeah.
The K1 always used to say to us, we don't care if you win or lose. Just if you go down, just go down swinging like a champ.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's why. But you get guys like that in the UFC as well, like Cowboy Cerrone. And that. Not that he's got a losing record or anything. He's had a lot of big wins, but even in his losses, they're usually fight of the night performances. So you got to win, but you got to entertain as well.
Yeah, and on that, I mean, GSP, he's in a contract dispute with UFC at the moment. There's talk, like, as you just mentioned a moment ago, there's talk, you know, of guys going over to Bellator, and they're sitting in the wings apparently waiting for GSP, whether or not how big that would be for them as an organization, noting that he's always been renowned as a boring fighter and associated with the UFC.
But
it'd be a big coup for them to get him.
Oh, it'd be massive, mate. I think GSP's biggest problem is he was getting X amount to fight, probably, I don't know, he got $5 million to fight Jake Shields at Toronto, which was the biggest pay a UFC guy had ever
at the time
before the Conor McGregor show arrived. But the thing with GSP is on top of that flat fee, which might have dropped down to a $2 million or something when he fought
him.
Yeah, poor bastard.
Tough gig.
But on top of that, he would have been getting $5 to $10 million in sponsorship, and he's lost all of that money.
Yeah.
Now Reebok's saying, "Don't worry about that $10 mil, mate. Here's $40,000." No.
That.
Yeah. Add like 2 zeros, and then we can talk.
Yeah.
So I can't see. And by the way, Dana's been talking. I can't see GSP fighting again in the UFC.
Yeah.
And if you talk about a quick little segue here, but talk about GSP's last opponent, who GSP's last fight, Johnny Hendricks. GSP won a very controversial decision, looked like a smash crab at the end of it, and Johnny came back and won the title in the next fight. But what a fall from grace Johnny Hendricks has had.
Yeah.
He went from the champion to the undercard to the Fox show. Now he's lost like two or three in a row after buying himself out of his Team Takedown contract, who had been with him since the start of his pro career. What a fall from grace that
Didn't he have some personal issues as well, Johnny Hendricks?
Well, he opened up like a steakhouse and shit that, you know, lost a lot of money on that.
Don't open a restaurant. It's their money bits.
And don't open a restaurant when you're a guy that misses weight continuously. Yeah, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, nice.
So he's just had the biggest fall from grace ever. So, well, now that everyone's depressed, that'll do.
Two men, two microphones, and no idea.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben the Governor Edwards.
Time to thank another one of our wonderful sponsors on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Benny, you're a customer there now. You go there all the time. You can talk about the butcher shop, my friend.
I'm a lifelong customer, man. Go in there. I ask for Cess or Flat Top Ian.
Yep.
And I walk out of there.
Well, he's got a flat top. He's got a great flat top.
It suits him, man.
I'm sure cool. Ian gets, when he goes to the barbers, the barber pulls out a set square.
Your 1990s soccer mum haircut.
Oh, is that what I've got?
You know who your hair looks like.
You might learn to grapple, son. Street. What did you say earlier? Street fights are very different to cage fights. Okay, let's go.
I thought you were going to bust out the old carnival bell on me like you did a couple of years ago when you kicked my ass on the carnival bell.
Yeah, nice. And the meat pie.
Have you seen AJ Styles, man?
Yeah, I know AJ Styles. You reckon I got AJ Styles hair?
Similar hair, man.
Okay.
But that suits you, man. You're a rocker. If you weren't a rocker, it'd be a bit sus, but I like it.
Okay.
It suits you, man.
Cool. Let's
back to the butcher shop.
Giving me grief about the hair.
Good recovery, sorry, man. On to the butcher shop.
It's bloody good food.
Oh, sensational, isn't it? It is Canberra's best meat. Award-winning hams, and this is the time of year. You want to get a Christmas ham from there. I actually may have bought my first Christmas ham for the season.
Did you really? How many do you buy?
Well, you get a couple of half hams throughout the
You are a Viking.
I'll give you boys a bit of it before you go.
See, if you grew a beard, I wouldn't be saying anything rude.
Dude, I can't grow a beard. I tried Movember a couple of times and I looked like a Spanish pedophile. terrible.
I would suggest artist. This guy's artistic.
All right, well, let's
he can
go.
Paint.
Well, the funny thing is, my passport photo at the moment is from last time I did Movember, and it's disgraceful.
Dig it.
It's
bumhole search.
It runs out next week, so I've got to go and get a new one, thank God. So it'll be with this AJ Styles haircut.
I get pulled over, and I'm like Anglo-Saxon as Like, and I always get searched at the airport. Oh, this guy grabbed my nuts at Denver Airport, man. Wow. This little Mexican dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's my story. Back to the butcher shop.
I don't know how we got onto that. But
speaking of grabbing meat.
Just go and buy their meat. They're at Dixon and Kaylee. Their stuff's awesome. Fantastic.
Oh, Christmas. The thing is, can you stop the singing? Can you please stop the singing?
God almighty, can you please stop all the fucking Christmas songs?
That's a guy called I Hate Everything. He's on YouTube. He's not very happy with Christmas carols. And let's be honest, boys, most of them are pretty ordinary, aren't they?
Well,
yes.
Compared to a lot of the old ones, which had the old jingle theme about them, you know, and or even the ones that... You know, Sinatra did back in the day, like re-singing Christmas classics. Very different to just the crappy Christmas.
Two things done in this household every Christmas. You watch Die Hard, you watch Lethal Weapon because they're the best Christmas movies ever made. And then you listen to Bing Crosby's version of White Christmas because that is sensational.
That's what I mean. That's
Odin
what I'm
is coming to town.
That's it. Well, we thought for the final three episodes of the year to get us in the festive mood, we'd play some Christmas songs that you may not have heard and that don't suck because they are out there.
And this one's Iron Maiden-esque.
It's also, it's Jack Black from Tenacious D.
This is good.
And the former Mr. X Avril Lavigne, Derek Whibley, and his mates from Sum 41.
Avril sucked the life out of him. The last photo I saw of him, I'm pretty sure he was in rehab. He was about 20 kilos. And well, is he alive?
What's happened to Avril?
Is he alive? Well, she's with the Chad.
She's married the Chad.
The Chad.
The Chad.
She married the Chad.
The Chad is great.
Yeah.
So, but in music wise, she's done nothing for a long time.
She married Chad. The Chad put her on ice. I don't know what happened, but they got married. So, this is Jack Black and Sum 41, and the song's called Things I Want.
Well, what year is this from?
2003. It was
so they're prime. Like,
yeah, it was a Christmas carol album done by rock bands, and this song's amazing. Just pay close attention to the lyrics of what Jack Black wants for Christmas because it's gold.
Ho, ho, ho! So many Christmas letters! So many wishes! Lucy wants a squeezy doll. Jimmy wants a moon rocket. Oh, this list's rather long.
Yeah.
just love that song. Absolutely sensational. We're going to play Farty Bills. We've had a few requests for it. That'll come on the last podcast of the year, Farty Bills. So
I got it wrong.
What's that?
I thought it was Farty Pants.
No, no, no. Farty Bills, Benny, because it's Jingle Bells done with farts.
I got
sensational.
It.
Stevie P is back in the country, and we're going to hand the podcast over to him, mate. Take it away, my friend.
Thank you very much, boys. Plenty going on. World of sport, world of everything at the moment. I'm glad that we touched on the Bali incident before. That was some really wacko stuff right there. And let's see what happens with that young kid now. He's gone for a holiday. And
he'll
make some money.
Silly story to that's life story. A new yeah. idea. Yeah. And then he'll be able to really go on a bender.
Get some real coke.
Instead of his neuropathy.
Paracetamol.
Silly bugger. Yeah. Boys, I wanted to start with something that also relates to pills in some capacity. This whole cricket schmozzle the last couple of days, the whole shine the ball gate, the old gate with Fat Duplessis, with the old Strepsil.
It's pretty weird how he plays with it, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just been all over the news the last couple of days, and I don't know what to make of it. It almost feels like a massive media blow-up in one sense, but is it because we are so bad at the moment that they're just trying to cover
that,
it up?
And I think the fact that the South African players have been total tools to the Australian media, every time they've tried to talk to them in an airport and stuff, the South Africans have been accused of basically bashing our media.
How
bashing
about
the
security
out of the
guard? How about that fella?
Yeah,
palm him off.
I mean, in the world, I was watching Sky News last night, and Peter Fitzsimons was on there last night.
Oh God, was he talking about his fucking book?
Yeah, he was.
Shut up, Peter. Lost weight. Good on you. Shut the fuck up.
That's what he was talking about. Yeah, you've obviously seen it elsewhere because that's the first time I've seen him like
everywhere.
Eight times.
It's like get that stupid do-rag off your head. Yeah, and shut up.
That's all that was. But get this, though. In the world of PC, he let one slip last night, which I don't know if they'll make more of, but he was talking about the South African security guard. Now, he's an African descendant.
Yep. I mean,
he's not a white African.
Is he black?
Yeah.
You're black.
Lethal weapon, man.
Yeah. So
diplomatic immunity, Mr.
has just been revoked.
Diplomatic immunity, Mr. Riggs. What a cracker.
I'm just making sure I'm not standing on plastic.
Oh, that is a great movie.
Oh,
isn't it?
Sensational.
And he's come out and he said,
I shook my wife in the toilet. Too soon. Sorry. Sorry, Steve.
No, go on. Keep going. No,
this is why Steve's segments take 4 hours, because we never shut up.
You cut him in. Sorry, man.
We're too busy talking shit, Murtaugh. And he's come out and he's called that security guard a gorilla, and you could see that everyone's face in the room just went, oh. And in PC land, you know, the PC land of today, you could sort of see them trying to just get on with it. And Jim Wilson was on there. He's like, oh, yeah. And then he tried to correct himself a few times, but it didn't come out very well. But that was a good point. And there's a big debate about the way that the reporter was trying to get the story. And I thought there was nothing wrong with it. You know this from a long, distinguished career in media, Scotty. You're trying to get a grab. You're going to put a microphone underneath the captain of the opposing team and ask him a question. And
people that are out doing field reporting like that, that's their job.
That's their
job. You've got to go out. You've got to get the soundbite for the news that night or the news that afternoon. If you don't do that, you're not doing your job.
Correct. Yep. That's the whole thing you're trying to get. And there was a lot of criticism about the way he did it was not right. I said, that's absolute crap. I mean, he's just gone there trying to ask a question. But the fact that Faf was found guilty of ball tampering and he didn't even get a ban for it. I mean, if you're going to set the tone and say he's guilty, give the guy a ban and make an example of it. Yeah. Because
for people that don't know,
he got a $2,000 fine, didn't he?
Yeah, he got a fine, and he's allowed to play.
What was he actually doing? So
he had a mint in his mouth, and what he's doing is, you know, when a mint gets towards the back end of the mint, it's sticky, it sticks to your teeth, but it also gets quite gooey.
Bite them, but yeah. I know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
And anyway, what he's done is he's basically...
So he uses the sugar to put on to stick the ball up.
And he's using it to shine the ball.
Shine the ball up.
So the extra weight in that, you know, that mucus that...
The one side that's shiny, it's not to do with grip at all. The one side that's shiny... With a cricket ball, you get the rough side, the shiny side. The shiny side will swing because it cuts through the air.
That's right.
Science, bitch.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So by using that, it creates a heavier side on that side of the ball as opposed to the rough side, which you just continue
to
get lighter and lighter.
Isn't that called the Magnus effect or something?
Probably.
Could be, Benny, yeah. Do some research on that and bring that back next week.
I will. I need closure for myself.
And what happened was is that he was found guilty of doing that, Benny, which is ball tampering has always been illegal. There's been instances over the years.
That's what my mum told me when I was 13 too.
Benny's mum still tells him that.
I wasn't doing nothing.
Oh, Ben.
It's chafe. Yeah.
It's not what you think it is. Yeah, and anyway, he was found guilty of it. And there's been instances over the years where you look at Hansi got done a few times. NASA's saying got done. Oh, NASA, no, sorry, not NASA. Mike Atherton got done rubbing his like foot. What was that, clippings off the ground or something like that into the ball as well?
Yeah, and there's been sides that have picked the stitching out of the ball
as
well.
That's right, yeah. So there's been all these instances where if you're getting caught ball tampering, you should be punished. Now, he's been found guilty, but they've just allowed him to play in the next test, which starts tomorrow, which is a day night.
Just a fine, no
suspension. And he's laughed it off. He's been very smug about it.
2 grand, fuck all.
Well, to him, his match payment would be nothing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it was quite hilarious, actually. And it's one where Australian cricket, it feels to me like a big facade because Australian cricket is in real trouble.
And that was the Australian cricket board that made that decision.
Well, it was
the International Cricket Council.
Okay. So they travel around wherever the test series are and they'll set up hearings and judiciaries for these sort of issues. Yeah. But, you know, it seems like the Australian media have also blown it up as a smokescreen because we're we're already 5 or 6 losses in a row now, Scotty. We're in serious trouble.
Is there a lot of South Africans on the International Cricket Board?
Well, they've taken the knife to the team. There could be upwards of 5 debutants, 5 or 6 changes, in Adelaide. So, and they seem to have picked on form. Like, you've got the leading wicket taker for the Sheffield Shield for the last 3 years might make his debut, and he's a South Australian. So the Chad, hopefully he gets a Guernsey. But I think it's at the top. Last week we gave him an uppercut, Stevie. Pat Howard, the director of high performance.
Yeah, good boys.
The biggest oxymoron for job titles.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. You did, Benny.
My boss would love this because he absolutely sprays Pat out all the time. What does he even do?
He comes from a rugby union background, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't know shit about cricket, and he's the one that's saying to guys, oh, you've bowled 15 overs, you need a break next test.
Yeah. What, high
bowl them till
manager.
They break.
That's right.
Bowl them till they break, then replace them with someone else who can bowl.
Yeah.
Don't take someone out when they're just starting to find their rhythm.
Back in the day, though, that's what we all used to do anyway, though. I mean, everyone just used to bowl until they had enough. When did you ever see Dizzy and Pigeon and those boys getting crooked? They were just bowling until they had enough.
It'll be interesting. I mean, there's a great speech getting around on Facebook at the moment with Jeff Thompson from last year's Cricket Awards. I don't know if you've seen it, Stevie, but he's basically saying, I couldn't do what the current cricketers do. I used to have an off-season. I used to play VFL because if I was around cricket 12 months of the year, I would have gone bloody stir crazy.
Yeah, would have gone
so
bonkers.
There's probably a bit of that too because there is no off-season for our cricketers
anymore. Not with IPL in India, not with all the different 2020 tournaments,
right.
Big Bash here, West Indies, all that sort of stuff.
It's
that's
constant.
A lot.
So, and I think that's probably got a lot to do with
Benny,
it.
Benny,
I
mean, you've just even made the smart comments yourself about taking some time away from the sport sometimes is the best thing for you physically, mentally. Oh, and if, you were saying, Scotty, these guys were going kicking the footy for 6 months, they come back to it and go, okay, great.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Fresh, you know. And back then, I suppose, you had an Ashes tour once every 4 years, South African tour every 4 years. Yeah. It wasn't like this where it's now, mate. It is like
you got a tour
3 1
year.
Days here, followed by 2 2020s on the other side of the world. Just crap tournaments and crap games and useless. But anyway, we'll see how Australia go. Day night test tomorrow versus South Africa. With a pink ball. Yeah. I hope they don't introduce it next year. Ashes are on next year. I hope they don't have a pink ball test next year.
There's no way. Well, they use a pink ball at night because it's a bit more visible night. Okay. So, and they don't want to go to a white ball because, that wouldn't be test cricket, which you can understand with the traditionalists. And I agree.
No one likes blue balls.
No, well, that's right, Benny. You'd know about that, son. I can't see cricket as a whole letting an Ashes test be played at night.
No way. It would take away
moving the Masters from Augusta.
That's it. Yeah. Exactly right.
Too much history, too much tradition.
Playing it for fun at, St Andrews or something like that. It's just stupid. Yeah. So see how the Aussies go tomorrow in a real spot of bother at the moment. If we lose, it'll be first time we've ever in our history at home lost a series, lost every test of a series.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Incredible if that happens.
No bloody good.
No, that's shocking. That's shocking, Maxi.
Scotty's trying to think of something to say.
It's just dawned on me, and every time Stevie's here, he's spoken about cricket. You're the only Maso I know that likes cricket.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know, mate.
There's a lot of Aussie in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of Aussie in me. Don't worry about that. I love it. Rugby league on the weekend, boys. Australia, in my opinion, rightfully took their place back as number one in the world. Great performance against New Zealand. 24-0 up at halftime. They won 34-8 in the end.
Yeah.
Mal Meninga seems to be finally working things out with the Australian team, which, look, this is no disrespect to
Michael Hagan's working things out with the Australian team. Yes, Mal Meninga's there as a bonding icon. That's all he does.
You reckon?
Yeah. Mal Meninga's not the
Hagan was with Meninga in Queensland, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Hagan's the one that comes up with the game plan, that does all the actual coaching. Mal's more about, I guess he's just the mentor, playing getting the vibe him. Right, the yep. Marbo, all that sort of stuff. That's what Mal does. He's like a figurehead.
Constitution.
But Hagen is the guy that's coming up with the game plans.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I mean,
but it's working.
It's good that they fixed it. Yeah. I mean, and I say this without any disrespect to all the other countries out there who play rugby league, but Australia should never not be number one at rugby league. It's good to have to try and expand the game, get the tournaments, get these four nations comps, World Cup next year. Okay, I'm okay with all that, but there's no way Australia should be languishing like we were in the last sort of 12 to 24 months, losing tests.
We invented the fucking thing.
Losing tests versus all these countries and you know, being in a position where you had, you know, losing that World Cup was quite embarrassing going back 5-6 years ago.
That was shocking. Wasn't it? Yeah.
So, good to see the Aussies win. I saw a rugby league story you might like today. Rory Costjason coming home next year for you boys.
Yeah, he started his first training session was Monday with the Knights. Yeah. And if we get young Ponga from the North Queensland Cowboys.
There's been some talk about this kid, hasn't there?
Yeah, so it looks like that's a done deal. And we've got Josh Starling and Jamie Bure from Manly as well. So you never know.
Things are looking up, man.
I'm not expecting great things.
It's a 2 or 3 year plan.
Yeah. Well, it is. It is. Nathan Brown was given 3 years.
This is where the Raiders were a couple of years ago.
Correct.
Yeah, that's right.
Cronulla.
Now we're fucking flying.
Cronulla went from the wooden spoon to winning the grand final in 12 months.
That's it.
So
things can change quickly.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. And I'm a firm believer that Brown should be given the 3 years and then they should reevaluate it.
Give him his go.
If we have a crap start to next year and then the knives come out, then the Knights are just shooting themselves in the foot for the next 5 to 7 years.
What's your thought on that Uarte swap with Bureau? Is that a good signing for you guys?
Mate, I think Uarte was too comfortable in Newcastle when he got dropped from Origin a few years ago. He basically lost his mojo. He really did. He was terrible under the high ball there for a long time.
No confidence.
Yeah, none of that. And I think he was injured for a while, which didn't help. So a change of scenery could do him the world of good, but I think he'd done everything he could do at Newcastle, so I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, and Bure's probably a good player for you guys. Good utility player. He can play anywhere. Yep. Bure from Manly from Manly. Good utility player. Probably can't play in the front row, but apart from that, he'll probably stick him anywhere.
Playing second row, Manly. Yeah, second row,
centre. He can play anywhere, which is really good. So. Yeah. Yeah, good luck to you boys next year, mate. I hope you get off the bottom of the table.
It's got to be a bit. You're in there about my football team.
That was like a story compliment. Benny, you're so athletic for a fat. Yeah, thanks, Story.
Backhanded, I believe, is how it goes. But
you got some beefing to do out after this one.
There's been a lot of beep buttons tonight.
Yeah. Beep. Matty Dellavedova, boys, he's moved over to the Milwaukee Bucks and he's continued on his good form from Cleveland where he won his championship. Now, there's talk today that they're going to make a biopic about him, a movie. What do you boys think about this? Is it a bit premature? Is it
in the running? There's four main guys. I read that in the paper today.
Yeah, actors that were. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you who I reckon could do it.
Even Timberlake.
Timberlake was one of them. Yeah.
Lara Bingles misses.
Shut up and take my money.
Lara Bingles fella.
What's her name?
What's his name? Sam. Sam played Avatar.
Worthington. Yeah.
Werther's kind of looks like Deli a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's another
guy. But is he 8 foot six?
Deli's only 6 foot, I think.
He's 6'1" or something like that.
Yeah, he's not big. Yeah. Not big.
Can he dunk?
No, he's a point guard.
You can tell I know a lot about basketball. Right? Yeah.
he's a fast, quick dude. He's a point guard. He's about 6 foot.
The Kumbay Mutombo.
No, he's not him. I had a pair of his shoes.
He was one of the greats, Dikembe.
That would have been the biggest Mutombo shoes ever.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one. I don't know how it would go. I mean, it's a bit premature if you ask me. I mean, it's not to say that he hasn't done well from the Australian perspective, but you got guys like Paddy Mills.
I was about to say, has he done more than those other guys?
No, I don't. Well, Paddy Mills has won a ring as well.
Luke Longley? How far along did he go compared to?
Well, he won.
It's just because he won three rings.
He won three rings with the Bulls with that second stint under Phil Jackson.
He went to DK College.
Nice. He's a good guy, Luke Longley. I mean, but he's got that credential behind him. I just think this is a bit of a funny one. I mean, maybe wait till his career's over. Who's going to? I'm not saying no one will watch it, but give it some time. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting one.
Yeah.
Socceroos last week, boys. As I mentioned, I watched that in Bangkok last week. The Thais played like a team possessed. Like they played like they were playing for something, and good on them for putting in a performance. But the Socceroos are really regressing now. The last 9 months, we've put in some two draws and a loss in our last three. Struggling now to make our way towards Russia because we're sitting third in the group. We've still got an away game against Japan, a home game against Saudi Arabia to come.
Yeah.
And we've got a tough trip to the UAE as well. So there's every chance we won't finish in the top two qualifying spots. And as much as Ange looked like he'd work things out for us, you know, coming out of the first qualification phase, which is against the lesser lights, dare I say it.
Yep.
Now into against the bigger teams. To struggle against a team like Thailand, with all due respect, we should have beaten you know, on paper before the game, is a real worry now. So I don't know what that's going to do. You know,
it could be a good thing, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Has Pat Howard got anything to do with the Socceroos? Yes,
he's probably a liaison or something like that with the technical director. But I found it interesting that we were so poor in a game which meant so much. The conditions were oppressive there, Benny. I mean, it was 35 degrees and absolutely sweltering, but yeah, it puts things into perspective now, and the damage it'll do for the sport if Australia don't qualify will be huge. So
I found, though, like in fighting and all sports in general, if you get like an A-level guy coming up against a C-level fighter, if that C-level fighter's just gone through, look at bloody Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah.
He promised his mum he'd win the world title, and she died 3 weeks before the fight. You can rise to the occasion and do superhuman shit on emotions that you can't call upon all the time. And maybe that might have been the case with Thailand, because they're such a fanatical people. They all worship the king. All the fighters have a photo of the king in their corner every fight.
Very patriotic.
Very nationalistic people.
Yeah.
You know, same as the Brazilians. They're all just crazy. They're all going for the Brazilian. They're very, very nationalistic. And it could be a good thing for the Socceroos, where they think, oh, man, you know, we just struggled against Thailand. Mm-hmm. Albeit, you know, they might have had a lot of motivation to perform. But if they can go, oh, you know what, we really got to get our act together, it could be a good thing. They could bounce back with it. Got a good attitude.
That's a very good point. We do have three home games to go. The next game's not until March, which is only a single game. And then after that, we've got a doubleheader in June and a doubleheader in September after that. So it's going to be interesting to see how we turn that around. But yeah, the selection was strange for me. He didn't play guys like Milligan. He didn't play, you know, Cahill. Cahill was declared unfit to play for the Socceroos, right? He turned up for Melbourne for 5 days before that and played, you know, 70-odd minutes for Melbourne City. So bizarre call.
What was the injury?
Well, it's just his match fitness, they reckon, Benny. They were saying that he just didn't quite have it in him, like he didn't have it in the legs yet to go and play in that sort of environment. But if you can play at all 5 days,
you can pay him
beforehand,
for 40 minutes, you're playing for 40 minutes.
That's it, give him a go. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the guy's a world beater.
As the X factor. So we'll see how that goes into next year for the Socceroos and their qualifying campaign. I'm glad you just mentioned it, Benny, because I was going to go out with a flashback, and you just mentioned the name Mike Tyson. On this day, 30 years ago, Mike Tyson, 22/11/1986, won his first world title, the WBC world title, and he knocked out Trevor Burbick, the Jamaican-born Burbick, in the second round at the Las Vegas Hilton. He was a weapon. His 28th fight and his first world title. I think he'd knocked out 25 opponents before that fight, and Burbick was the 26th opponent he knocked out. So on this day, 30 years ago, the great Iron Mike was born with his first world title win.
Probably the start of his very short but impressive
absolutely call. Because he beat, after that, he went on to beat James Smith for the WBA title, won the IBF title, two or three fights after that. And then he won the Ring Magazine and the Lineal belts after that as well. But then came Buster Douglas.
From about 88 to end of 89, he was the baddest dude ever.
He was.
For sure. And then there's all these comparisons to Tyson and Ali, and I'm going to ruffle some feathers, but Tyson would fucking murk Ali if they would actually fight. But there's so many variables involved in that. I said it all the time, you can't compare people of different eras. But
Ali would have destroyed Tyson before they stepped in the ring.
If you did, I don't know. I think just Tyson was just such an... I don't think you could get him as angry as you want. That's how he fought anyway.
Yeah.
He was just going to try and take your head off until he gassed, and he was so explosive and just had such an awesome trainer. He was living with one of the best trainers ever.
Yeah.
You know, who knew how to train Mike for Mike.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, on top of that, he was a father figure.
He took him on at 14, straight out of juvie.
And you know, if you got, just say, like, you know, someone's taken you into their house and this father figure is instructing you, you're going to want to bloody do him proud.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that was a huge...
when he passed away, it all went downhill.
They ruined him.
Yeah, really did. First thing he said when he won that world title, he said to his new trainer, was it Jimmy Jacobs? He said to him straight afterwards, he goes, would Cuz have been proud of that? Like, would he have been proud of what
just
I just did?
Looking for that recognition.
Yeah, validation and everything. Yeah.
That's it. Would he have been proud of me? It's just to say, done. I've got a quick question for you, though. What do you put it down to that he just got, he obviously went to jail during the prime of his career. He lost those 3 years in the early 90s.
I'm just going to put it out there. Desiree Washington was a whore. Go ahead. I've seen the facts.
Send your complaints to Ben Edwards, care of Canberra.
I've seen the evidence, man.
Care of SMM.
She was a gold digger.
But when he came back from that, though, he didn't really have much of a career, though, did Benny? I mean, he lost twice to Holyfield.
Man, if you come from nothing and you don't expect to make 20, you're the most famous athlete on the planet, multimillionaire. It's hard to there's the old boxing saying again. It's hard to get up and run in the morning when you're wearing silk underwear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? When I wake up in Charnwood, I can hear my mum and dad arguing and shit. I'm fucking running, man. I gotta escape this shit.
I'm out.
I'm out.
So that was it. 30 years ago to the day, a moment in time, Mike Tyson, Las Vegas Hilton, the WBC world title.
27 years before my MSG. Domination.
Domination, yeah.
Well, I'll get my ass kicked for 99% of the fight. Then come on good.
Yeah.
Right. Need advice? You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
It is listener question time. This one from our good mate Jonathan Duval on Facebook, and it's, I guess, pointed more to you, Benny. It says, Chock and Green, have they taken too long for this rematch? Does Australia care? And is this just two guys past it going for a final payday?
Yes, they have. Not really. And yes, it is. Steve, your thoughts?
My thoughts are...
It's a payday
speaking
between...
Speaking of the microphone, Stephen.
It's two guys looking... It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's a payday.
Guys,
it's a payday.
It's one last huge payday.
Yeah.
And they're going to ride off into the sunset. Good on them, but...
Green will get his equal, you would think.
Yeah, at 83 kilos. But the argument's always going to be, you know what, Mundine was 145 years old. He just had hip surgery. He's not going to get
Chock won when they're in their prime.
He's not going to get the credit.
And they fought at 70 last time, didn't they? Is that right? Oh, 73.
No. It was a little bit 75, 76. Okay. It was
more at super.
But Green was actually struggling to make that weight for a long time. But he agreed to fight.
But noting that Chock fought at 70 for most of his career, super welter.
He dropped down after that. And then he tried to make 69, didn't make 71, but last few fights he has fought at 70, correct?
Yes.
And Danny went as high as 89.
That's what I mean.
For so Shane Cameron.
So if you go from that super world and healthy 70, you're talking that up to that's 13 kilo heavy.
Yeah. Now, the odds are in Green's favour.
Surely Green.
And he's been more active and he's been performing well.
Yeah.
All the odds are in Green's favour.
Compared good. To Green's last loss, Mundine's last fight was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Against a top guy, but. A decent guy, but this should be 5-1.
If you believe him, though, he said, you know, I'm fighting like I was 7 or 8 years ago because I can move my hip. So
yeah, but you're not going to say I'm fighting like a geriatric. Please watch his pay-per-view.
Yeah, true. Very true. Nice.
Well, then again, I probably would pay to watch that.
but the thing is, though, when that comes around, though, we'll probably watch it, yeah? We'll get in front of it and watch
it. We're interested, but we're hardcore. I reckon we're hardcore sports fans.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, this hasn't crossed over to the general public did 11 years ago.
It will. Mundine will say something absolutely stupid and heinous early next year to create the vibe.
Yeah.
And
9/11 was an inside job. Watch my pay-per-view.
Danny will be offended. Everyone will watch.
Yeah.
They get right off into the sunset with a stack of cash in the bank.
Yeah, and they're still going to make it.
I mean, I saw
they're still cashing in.
I saw a photo that Fox Sports took of them at a recent media conference
Adelaide Oval.
Yeah. Was it taken at the SCG though? Because it looked like the old pavilion was in the background.
No, it was Adelaide.
It was Adelaide. But they, like, Mundine looked horrendous. I mean, he looked really old. And that's not taking anything away from him, but he just looked gaunt. He looked old. He looked grey.
Yeah.
You know, Danny Green looked, you know, probably a little bit better.
He looks pretty fit. He's running his gyms at the moment. He's got that program going.
Yeah,
the Danny Green fitness thing that he's got going. So he's been working out and training pretty hard, and whereas Chock probably hasn't. So, it'll be interesting to see.
But Chock, he's one of those guys, mate. I saw some footage of him training. He had this setup like in the outback before his fight with Green, and it was about 3 weeks out, and he was just sleeping in this. It was like a shanty town set up for the Mundine team.
Yep.
And he looked awful.
Yeah.
But he looked like he'd been trained in the house. And that's where you should be 2-3 weeks out.
Yeah.
And he was talking like his immune system was just getting pumped. Like he's training hard. Mm-hmm. And he's there and he's eating this steak. And he's like, I've done 50 rounds of sparring last 4. And then 2 weeks later, he looked $1 million, mate. Yeah. So he might not look too good at the press conference, but he'll be sharp
for the time. But it's on February 3. We're only talking 6 weeks away now. Yeah. It's not long. Ten weeks.
Plenty of time.
But that's enough time.
Yeah. Even if it was 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You can get, for most of my fights, albeit 3 rounders, but even if it was a 10-round fight, if you show up not overweight, and yes, I am the pot speaking about this right now, but from my experience, if I've got even a 10-round fight, I know if I'm not overweight, I can get 10-round fight fit, and it doesn't take long. Especially if you're a full-time athlete with the resources these guys have, you can go from nothing to something pretty bloody quick.
Yeah.
And these guys, they're very experienced. They know what they're doing. They know how to get in shape.
Nice. So
they'll be good to go.
There you go, Joel. There's your answer. And, folks, if you want to get a question to us, we've got two more listener question segments left for the year. Hit us up on our Facebook page. Uppercut Podcast is where you will find
it. On the Give Yourself an Uppercut Podcast.
I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
You know, to liven things up.
Here we are on the Give Yourself an Uppercut Podcast. Scotty Masters, Benny Edwards, and me, Stevie P. And now we move on to our listener request for the week.
Mm-hmm.
This comes from our mate Michael Clark. And
I don't know. I don't know if the term "mate's" going to be okay after this. Clarky's requested some pretty
good songs. He's a loyal listener.
He is,
and
he is.
Clarky could get away with this one.
Yeah, and that's the only reason we're playing it for him, because he's been a great listener this year. But Clarky, you've had some great requests, but I'm going out on the limb. This is the worst song I have ever. This song is worse than Barbie Girl by Aqua.
Yeah, but this one's so bad, it's kind of...
Oh, no, it's not. No,
nah, it's not. I tried saving you.
Good. This song is shit. That's what it comes down to. But we'll play it for you. Sig Sig Sputnik is the name of the band. All right, and the song is called Love Missile F-111.
And as Payos touched on off air, it's a Cold War themed.
Yeah,
it sounds like a Cold War themed video game.
Well, it's an 80s pop hit, obviously, but with an 8-bit
video game.
What top 10,000 was this in?
It came in at 10,001.
In the Moscow top 1,000.
This song must have been written just after synthesizers and delay units came out, because
nothing wrong with a bit of synth.
Yeah, I mean, this is a podcast. You can speed it up and just skip through it. So just have a little listen, see what you think. Love Missile, F-111. Clarky, you're on the list, son. You're on the list.
Ultraviolence.
Ah!
Yep, there it is. See, told you that was a shit song, boys. Love Missile F-111, Clarky. Never send in that again, my friend. Of course, Benny, we need to wrap it up. We've got to thank our wonderful sponsors.
We sure do, mate. The Butcher Shop with our Flat Top Bean and Dixon and Kayleen and...
Lang's Auto.
Am I doing the whole thing?
Yeah.
Lang's Auto Lang's Centre Auto. At 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan with short back and sides, Johnny Lang.
indeed. And we thank him very much for being a part of the podcast this year. Next week, I do believe you're back with us, Stevie, next
Absolutely,
week. You're in the
boys.
Country. You're not going off anywhere?
Not for another few weeks.
Beautiful. So, yep. Beautiful. All right. Well,
I'll be here for the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, we've got two episodes left.
Sky by Nightclub. Yeah. Going over there.
No, I'll be in different parts of the world just before Christmas, thankfully.
Beautiful. Now, boys, it is come to the time of the show where we do a high five or an uppercut, but it's always easier to find people to uppercut than it is to high five.
With 27 episodes, I think we've done
one
26 uppercuts yeah. and one high five.
I think so. I want to give an uppercut to the producers at the BBC that decided to let Jeremy Clarkson go.
Yeah. Well, it ended up being
the
all three
PC
of them.
Producers.
Yeah, basically.
We can't have someone like this continuing to work for us.
I mean, I watched the first episode of the Grand Tour on the weekend, which is the brand new show, the motoring show that's released through Amazon Prime. So it's a streaming, so you've got to pay for a subscription and you stream the show. Unbelievable. The chemistry that these three guys have, and the fact that Hammond and May stuck up for their mate when Clarkson got the boot and hung with, I mean, luckily enough, they had all the money in the world to be able to do that. And I don't condone the fact that Clarkson hit one of his producers. I think the BBC probably should have said, you're fined or you're suspended or whatever, but they have let go the biggest cash cow the BBC's ever had.
But on that note,
sometimes people deserve a slap, Ben.
It's just like
if
a house burns down, the house was on fire. No, how did it lead to that? You know what I mean? There's a story to that.
I think Clarkson.
He probably had it coming.
I think Clarkson can be a bit of a testy individual every now and then.
Can't we all?
When a lot of creative types are like that. But these boys, the show that Top Gear put out this year with Matt LeBlanc and Chris Evans was just crap.
You can't fake chemistry, man.
No, you can't. You can't, Benny. And the Grand Tour, if you haven't seen it, the whole start of it was essentially an up yours to the BBC.
We're basically the Grand Tour of podcasting.
Absolutely. Is that what we are? Are we?
Up yours 104. Sorry, go ahead.
But that's essentially what it was. The whole opening segment was Clarkson walking out of the old BBC building, handing over his security card to the security guy. You know, almost in tears, and Hot House Flowers, I can see clearly now, was playing in the background, and then he gets
was it
on
a piss
plane.
Take? Him, like,
yeah, walking.
Crying?
But it was back to the old building. So he'd gone back to the old building to film it. Then he's flown to LA, and they end up in the middle of the desert, and then they show up, and the Hot House Flowers are performing live in front of like 2,000 Americans as they drive in to start the show.
Wow!
Like their budget for this new show is £4.5 million per episode.
That's crazy.
$250 million. Amazon
and it's
Prime
online.
Paid them
it's
for
online.
It. It's online, Benny, yeah. So you just pay for an Amazon subscription.
It's picking
and
up.
And
can you get that through like a smart TV or something, Scotty?
I just did it on a computer. Yeah. And away you go. So
that's taken off, man. Jay Leno is pretty sitting on
watch,
there as well now.
People don't watch TV the way they used to watch TV.
Everyone wants to watch stuff in their own time.
Yeah,
that's why podcasts
YouTube,
are taking off. Because people
exactly
download
right.
it in their own time and listen to it in their own time.
Correct, Benny. Correct. So you ready for an uppercut, the BBC producers?
I was born ready.
All right, take it away. Oh! Perler. That is a perler indeed. So there you go. That's it for us this week. Two to go for 2016. If you want to hit us up with a question, a song request, or anything at all, head along to Facebook. It's the easiest way to do it. Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is where you'll find us. And as I always say, get a big black dog up you.
And before I sign off, I'd just like to apologise again about the hair, man. I think it suits you, man.
No, you just don't want me to go crazy on you, Benny. That's what it is, isn't it?
Don't worry. I'll be filming the ensuing
rumble.
Front yard rumble.
The rumble
pretty
in Queenbo.
Posting on the site later this week.
Stevie, thanks for joining us, mate. We'll see you
next
week, too.
Thanks for having me, boys. Really appreciate it. And see you next week.
See you, folks.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride. And then Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan and The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time.